Good evening. I want to start by thanking everybody for giving up some time on a Friday evening to come here for the organizers, and I'm like so deeply honored to be flanked by this panel. It is such a treat. So I'm excited to be here. I spend a lot of time in a lot of important meetings, but there is really nothing that thrills me more to be able to come out and talk about the work that's going on and the things that are being done and reaching out to people who want to engage and learn, because that's at the core of what's going to be the success of the pushback that you've heard about already. As a backdrop to my comments, which are going to focus a little bit more on school funding and New Jersey-specific budget issues, I want to remind us that there's a law of the land. It's the School Funding Reform Act that was passed in 2008 as a means to fairly fund schools, to provide equity. It was a national model considered one of the most progressive in the nation, and what it did was establish funding that followed the child, regardless of zip code, regardless of where they live, suburb, rural, urban. If a child had additional needs beyond the basic educational needs, they got the funding for the basic needs, and then they got weighted increases in the funding per child. So if you had an IEP, if you were an English language learner, whatever it was that demanded additional funding, the state would work that in. So districts were allotted a certain amount of funding according to this very complex formula that I don't even pretend to parse. They were allotted the money that each child should need. Right, so you were following the money, was going where the child needed it. And that's our law of the land. It's not a perfect law. There are changes that people would like to see made. There's adjustments for geographic, for special education, but it was an improvement over what we had, theoretically, if it had worked, if it had been funded, and it is the law. In 2010, the School Funding Reform Act was fully funded with the assistance of a great amount of federal money that came in that year. Not 100% of the districts, but nearly all the districts got what the school funding formula said they should have. And it was complex because it was the rolling in of this plan. So it takes certain different forms of roll in, but it was doing pretty well. And that was until 2010 when we hit the budget cuts. And in the middle of the school year, in the middle of an academic school year and the budget school year, the government here announced that there would be mid-year cuts to every school across the state, virtually. That you would not be getting your last payment of school aid that the state promised you. And that became a downhill, I can't even call it a roller coaster because it hasn't gone back up since, but a downhill spiral, basically, of school funding. Since 2010, the cumulative underfunding of education, according to what the formula would dictate, has been nearly $6 billion, spread unequally across the state, because a percentage of your school aid comes from the state, and a percentage is paid your local fair share based on your property taxes. So as you can imagine, when the state cuts back its funding, the districts that are impacted the most are those districts that rely most heavily on state funding and less on their property taxes. And if we look at what those areas are, the delineation is pretty clear. Urban areas rely more heavily on state aid. Suburban areas with higher property tax bases rely more on their local fair share. Some suburbs get nearly 90% of their school funding from local fair share. Some urban districts get nearly 90% from the state. So while $6 billion across the landscape is a huge amount and it's hurt every school district, I would argue, it has disproportionately impacted urban areas of schools. And there's an excellent report by Journey for Justice, right, called Death by a Thousand Cuts, which is a national study of the peeling away of funding to urban schools and the impact that it's had. The impacts everywhere are increased class sizes, decreased enriched curriculum, many other things, loss of guidance counselors, attendance officers, nursing staff, funding for after-school activities, athletics. It happens differently across the board. It's very, very hard to distinguish and delineate it every single place, but without a doubt, every district has seen and felt this in some way. So in 2010, when this happened, K-12 advocates got to work, went down to the State House, went to our legislators, said, how can this possibly happen? And at the same time, the governor started to propose changes to the formula that would reduce the weights that students would get with special needs or additional needs. So we were fighting a multifaceted battle here, right? One is protecting the formula, the other one is protecting the funding. Consistently, there's been more success in protecting the formula, and there's been less success in protecting the funding, in getting additional funding. The governor does talk about the fact that the state is investing record amount of money in K through 12 education. And to some extent, that's true because the dollar amount is going up. That doesn't mean that the percentage that we're getting closer to fulfilling what the school formula says we should have, and we've lost a lot of federal money and other grants in addition to that. So it's one thing to say I'm putting more money in this than I ever have, and it's another thing to say, are we meeting our obligation? Are we fulfilling our needs to our students? Never mind following the law. So in 2010, 2011, New Jersey Working Families, which is where I'm at, has a coalition called Better Choices, which is a budget-focused campaign, and we became very engaged in advocating for K through 12 funding and protecting it. It was at that point where I was functioning as a K through 12 advocate that something became glaringly obvious to me. I could go in and advocate for school funding, and the legislators would even tell me, I agree with you, we should be funding the schools more. Where would you like me to take the money from? Should it come from affordable housing? Healthcare? Where would you suggest I take it from? Because I got no money in this budget. And so I was led down a path, not a very uplifting one, I admit, to understanding the budget in its entirety. But what I began to realize was that we could not effectively advocate for K through 12 funding unless we participated in the broader discussion of the budget in the state of New Jersey. Evidently, I said that a lot, because this year I was asked to take over the Better Choices campaign. You got to be careful what you talk about. And so I work now across the spectrum of areas of budget. And one of the things that I find that is most important in effective K through 12 advocacy is this idea of functioning within the entire budget and understanding it. Because our legislators are not perfect, but are almost as frustrated as we are. And we need to give them tools and means to move forward, to find solutions, which they're not naturally inclined to do. I don't mean that too judgmentally, but there's a certain lethargy in legislatures. So right now, currently, New Jersey is 48th in the country in economic recovery. Our unemployment rates remain high. We have nationally, across the nation, we have record high corporate subsidies. Right, which result in less revenue every year as we give additional tax credits to large corporations. Those are revenues that are not going into school funding, for example. We have a millionaire's tax that was upon the richest people of the state, earning, I think, $450,000 and more, that expired in 2010, which cost us nearly $1 billion in revenues, and we have no appetite in the government to reinstate it. There is an overall lack of appetite to do anything to increase revenues across the board. So if we want to effectively protect school funding and advocate for school funding, we have to talk about things like the Transportation Trust Fund. And this is where I lose a lot of education advocates. You want me to talk about the Transportation Trust Fund? And I go, well, yeah, I do, because it's almost broke. And when it goes broke, we not only will we not fund road projects and repair our roads, but the debt that we owe on the Transportation Trust Fund will need to be paid, and that will come out of our general revenue fund, which is where we get education funding from. Now, it's bad enough we're not following the law to fund education, but when we stop paying our debt, we get in real trouble, like with credit ratings and agencies, and we lose our borrowing ability. So you can bet your bottom dollar, and they're gonna reach for it too, that you're gonna pay the Transportation Trust Fund out of the general fund before you're gonna fund education. So if we want to be part of the solution for K through 12 education, we have to be part of the solution for the Transportation Trust Fund. And there may be some other things along the way. I'm just using that as one example. Because when we stabilize that, we have the opportunity to go in and say, okay, now let's talk about education funding. If we refuse to participate in the discussions for those solutions, we continue the cycle of asking for what can't be given and causing frustration. The one thing I know is that we have an effective formula that is the goal we should be working towards. And while I work with advocates who simply go, well, it's the law, why aren't we funding it? And they're right, they're not wrong in saying that. The reality is we're not gonna get to fund it overnight. We're probably not gonna get to fund it in the next 2 to 5 years. But if we work together to a reasonable goal and say, let's try to work there in 5 years, or in 5 years, this is how much closer we'd like to be, and these are the means and the tools by which we'd like to get there and be part of the broader solution, then we can all come together to be effective. And when we work across areas of the budget and we ally ourselves with the people who are fighting to solve the Transportation Trust Fund, The nice thing is they'll come back and support us in our fight for education. Because right now we're all fighting for parts of a diminishing pie, right? And sooner or later, we're gonna stall ourselves out fighting over those pieces, but if we come together and we work together in it, and that includes people who work in incarceration issues, in healthcare issues, in transportation issues, united we can push the government in a direction where everybody is going to benefit, and we should start to see the economic growth and the development we want. So that's education funding in very brief synopsis, and also why it's not just about education, but it's about issues beyond that that need to be part of our vision when we want to fix what's wrong with education. Thank you.